Here's Harden with the drive. Stuffs a facial by James Harden going right at Draymond Green, and a lot of chatter out there following that shot.
Oh! Oh!
Anything else you want to say?
Oh!
Yeah! NBA Straya! How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Straya. And it is Wednesday, May 23. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull, The Brooklyn Game, and a bunch of other places that want to pay me money. And I'm here hanging out in Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, dealing with that classic New York problem of like eight Latino dudes staring at me across the road from the top of that brownstone while a bunch of construction noise comes pouring into my house. It's awesome. But either way, we're still here making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today. Just while wrapping Straya a little bit, mate, it's what we do. So today's show is going to wrap the insta-bloody classic Rockets-Warriors Western Conference Finals Game 4 from last night, which was an absolute bloody ball terror. Yeah, it was awesome. So we'll wrap that up with the usual dumbassery. That's yeah, nah, that's not a knife, spud of the night, the Australian player watch, the unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takehouse. Get some flame grilled takes with your bloomin' onions. We've also got our buddy Alex Benton calling in to talk Celtics, which is going to be awesome. We're going to do yeah, nah with him. It's Wednesday, so we also have a brand new Mark Bradkey, Sweaty White Guy of the Week, and we'll finish up with a classic. It's a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. And it's gonna be awesome. It's episode 125. It's NBA Straya. Let's go!
Oi, oi, oi. It's old mate Dally over here. That's right, Manny Dellavedova. And you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Aw, you better, because it is NBA Straya. And how do we start every day? It is with the daily whip around. It's what we do. So let's wrap last night's insane game right off the top before we get into the yeah, nahs with Alex and everything. So the Western Conference Finals, Game 4, we go to Golden State. And everyone's like, oh, mate, Houston are done, bro. It's just all over. It's a wrap, bro. I think the Warriors are going to win about eight straight titles, bro. And, of course, Houston win 95-92, as we all expected. Brutal, man. So it ties it up at 2-2 in the Western Conference Finals. And this was an amazing game. Just an absolute bloody arm wrestle from the get-go. And when I say the get-go, I mean, well, not until the second quarter, because the Warriors smashed them from the start. The Rockets didn't score for basically the first half of the first quarter, which was bananas. Harden was even out there passing up wide open threes on a break early on for no real reason, which was bizarre. But then, out of nowhere, the Rockets come on this huge, massive second quarter comeback on a 34-18 quarter, a 17-8 run with Steph Curry out of the lineup. And it was just unreal. So to outscore the Rockets 34-18 in a quarter is ridiculous. But man, it was all because like James Harden went bananas and Eric Gordon, his little dunk, when I say little, it was pretty brutal. That started it all. And then James Harden straight killed Draymond. What did he do?
He got straight killed.
He got straight killed. And that's what prompted Chris Webber at the start of this show to go, oh, oh. Yeah, so now we know what Chris Webber sounds like in bed. Ugh, gross. So Harden killed Draymond. That was awesome halfway through the second quarter. One of the best in-game facial dunks you'll ever see. Not Chris Webber speechless. The entire place went quiet. And it was brutal, man, because that was Draymond. He's like the leader of that team. He's the alpha dude. He's just like, this is my goddamn house, man. And Harden straight killed him. That was awesome. So Harden had 24 points in the first half. But then you're like, oh, that's kind of neat. Houston versus Golden State. It's going very fun. Isn't this cool? And there's like a really good sort of setup into the second half of the game. And of course, The bloody Warriors come out there, and in the third quarter, the premiership third quarter, just like the 1995 Carlton Blues, go out there and crush them again, which is just what the goddamn Warriors do, man. It was unbelievable. So Houston had a 34-18 second quarter. Golden State had a 34-17 third quarter. That is absolutely ridiculous. Steph just starts get going, and it's like, oh, man. What do you think there, Stephen A. Smith?
This is horrible. There's no other way to put it.
That's what you'd be thinking if you're Houston at that point. But then this was absolutely unbelievable. Houston were up 62-57, still halfway through the third. And then they were outscored 23-8 in the final 6 minutes. Just absolutely unbelievable. So Golden State get up 82-70 going into the fourth. But then Houston, they do the old flip in the old switch-o. Hey there, switch-o. What are you doing? And they flip it. Crush it. Unbelievable. And then into the fourth quarter, the Rockets, man, as mentioned, down 82-70, go on this 19-4 run to get up with 3 minutes left. And you're like, oh shit, are the Rockets going to do it? Oh my God, they might do it. And they did it. It was unbelievable. A 25-10 run to close out the game by the Rockets and hold off the Warriors down the stretch. And there was a lot of drama at the end of this. They held them off down the stretch, basically thanks to the coward, Kevin Durant, being a coward and getting rid of the ball as quickly as possible in the last 10 seconds of the game. They didn't call a timeout, the old Warriors. They had the ball. It's like, all right, cool, off we go. And we're down two. What are we going to do? Two or three? Oh, shit. The coward, Kevin Durant, passes it to Klay Thompson. He gets stuck in the corner, basically wobbles back inwards, airballs a shot, and then Chris Paul is fouled under the basket. And you're like, all right, cool, game over. Everyone's like, oh my God, the game's over. Oh my God, Houston won. And look, Golden State has got so many options on the floor that you kind of get why they would want to just push the ball in a situation like that, try to get an open look like they are just like Jedi when it comes to the open floor and in transition. But Durant's drive, it breaks down, and then he gives the ball up to Thompson, who's not really going to be, how do you say, the best shot creator in the world. And the dude, look, we'll talk about this later, but come on, man. Like, he was not shooting the lights out last night, Clay. He was 4 of 13. So he passes the dude who's, like, ice cold. And, Steve Kerr could have called a timeout at any point. Didn't. And there you go. Thompson airballs it. And then CP3 gets it. Turns out, though, he's fouled. So there's 0.5 seconds left. And CP3 misses the first free throw. Then you're like, ah, so this dictates the idea that I'll just miss the second one because then the game's over as soon as the ball hits the rim because they can't get the rebound and call a timeout in that time. Oh, no. CP3, just to really throw a spanner in the works and just to really shit the bed, he makes the second free throw. What are you doing, mate? That is unbelievable. Miss the second one, the game's over. They can't get the ball and call a timeout. Instead, that leaves them up 3 with half a second left. And the Warriors got a timeout, so they get to advance the ball. Curry gets in a nice, makeable look at the buzzer, and he missed it. And that's it. Houston wins. So what an insane game, man. Houston just really took all that the Warriors could take and then the old Goku threw it back in their face. It was unbelievable. Warriors, Kevon Looney started in place of Iguodala, and you could really feel Iguodala's defense missing from nuclear napalm death lineup that the Warriors usually have. So Looney out there instead of Iggy didn't help. He also got in foul trouble, which definitely didn't help. So for the Warriors, yeah, 28 for Steph the Nerd Curry on 10 of 26 shooting. Ugh. 6 of 13 from 3, though. Had a time in that third quarter, though, did Steph. As mentioned, the coward, Kevin Durant, not a great night. 27 points on 9 of 24 shooting. So, yeah, between the two of them, they go 19 of 40. I mean, no, wait, that's 19 of 50. Add it up. 19 of 50. That's not great. 1 of 5 from 3 for the coward. He also had 12 rebounds, though. Draymond had 11 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 assists. Also got straight kilt and moved to the graveyard by James Harden. Klay, as mentioned, 4 of 13 for his 10 points, making the coward's decision to pass to him even more perplexing down the stretch. And the bench for Golden State was a bit blah. 4 points for Livingston, 2 for Swaggy P. Jordan Bell was all right, 6 and 5. We'll talk about him later. But for the Rockets, man, 30 for James Fast Jimmy Harden there. The beard, only 6 in the second half, though. Wasn't particularly efficient either. He went in a Kobe-esque 11 to 26. Kobe! A lot of walk-in threes that he just kind of short, straight clanked. And you're like, dude, come on. You're kind of killing your guys here. He goes 3 of 12 from 3 in the end. And especially down the stretch, he was kind of bottling it. And you're like, dude, come on, man. Like,
This is your time. Between him and CP3, they just missed a couple of straight open looks, but the Rockets held on anyway. So he ends up with 3-12 from three, but adds 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. So a pretty good game all around by Harden. Speaking of CP3, he had 27 points. Great defense on Durant and co. There was a great spot where he was isolated on Durant out on the perimeter, and Durant steps up for a 3, and CP3 just got all up inside him.
I'm up inside you, Kevin.
And Kevin just didn't have enough airspace and clanked it. It was crazy. So good stuff, CP3. He played very well, especially down in that fourth quarter. CP3 was straight crushing it. Missed a couple of shots, but it was also like his little drives and everything that kept the Houston lead alive. A couple of really, really clutch-ass buckets there to make sure that they kept the lead. And he really, really stepped up. So that was good to see. PJ Tucker had 16 rebounds. 16! That is unreal. 16 rebounds. Not 16 rebounds. 16 rebounds. Nice one. So there you go. What else? We had Clint Capela. He had 8 and 13. 14 points off the bench for Eric Gordon as well on 14 shots, but he hit him when it mattered. Couple of clutch-ass free throws and a really big three down the stretch. D'Antoni only played 7 dudes, man. It was his starters plus Gerald Green and Eric Gordon. Turns out Joe Johnson, not the answer, as predicted. So there you go, man. Houston win. Snapped the Golden State 16 straight home playoff win streak, which was just ridiculous. Going all the way back to LeBron popping them in the mouth in Game 7 of the 2016 Finals. So that's awesome. 2-2. We now have a pair of series, and I could not be more stoked. I'm going to fucking LA this weekend for Memorial Day. And I'm like, man, all I want to do while I'm there is watch some basketball in like a different LA bar as opposed to the New York bars that I end up in here over here. So now I can, because we're going to have like a game 6 in both series at the very least. So I am stoked. And speaking of stoked, who was our NBA Australia approved performance of the night?
That's not nice. That's a knife.
That was a knife, Eric Gordon and James Harden. Those dunks in the second quarter were the knives that really showed that the Rockets weren't going to be intimidated and they weren't going to get their asses handed to them. It really, really prompted that giant second quarter turnaround. And then down the stretch of the fourth, man, Chris Paul's step back three after the coward Kevin Durant hit a ridiculous step back long two. That was the knife that kept the Rockets ahead. It really was. I think it actually gave them back the lead, which was absolutely unreal. He just like, it quietened down that crowd as well, who were like, oh shit, we're down. We need to get psyched again. And then Chris Paul hits this insane step back three. Oh, it was unreal. So in fact, as mentioned though, Chris Paul's shot creation down the stretch was legitimately insane, especially in light of James Harden's just like completely bottling the entire second half. So it was really, really something special to see Chris Paul actually come through. In the fourth quarter, Paul had 8 points, hit 1 and 2 threes, goes 3 of 7 from the field. James Harden, 1 of 4.
Yeah, not going to do it there, bro. Not going to do it.
So there you go. Little CP3 jumpers in the mid-range, and then a dagger, Eric Gordon 3, and then Harden had a drive and a foul. Those were the big old Croc Dundee knives last night, and they were all from the Rockets. It was un-bloody real. I can't believe that Harden disappearing act, though. That was pretty crazy. So anyway, speaking of which, let's move on to Old Mate No Mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Man, that is Draymond Green, right? Just because he's going to be on a lot of James Harden posters now. But the best part was, not only was he on the, the facial end of the James Harden absolute ball-tearing cram, he also missed a dunk late in the game that was a backbreaker. This is definitely going on Shaq in a fool. It was just a definite old mate. So, hey, you can now shit talk Draymond forever and go, oh yeah, how's that? Can you actually dunk, Draymond? I just want to check. Draymond, can you dunk? Old mate, no mates. Missing a dunk and like not being able to get the ball over the rim is like, that's some like year 9 Ballarat High School shit. That's me and Leon Oldfield out there on each other's fucking shoulders, mate. It was brutal. So look, he got baptized in his own house and got blocked by the rim on an open dunk. So, Draymond Green, you are old mate, no mates. Moving on, though, who was the bitch-ass of the night? The bitch-ass of the night. That's got to be the coward Kevin Durant. Mate, why are you passing to a stone-cold Klay Thompson for a game winner? Just take the fucking damn shot. you coward. That was a bitch-ass move, yo, from a bitch-ass player that we know and love. Name the coward Kevin Durant. Come on, man. I'm wearing a coward Kevin Durant jersey right now. It's a Seattle Kevin Durant jersey, but still, that was a bitch-ass moment. Just take the damn shot, man. I get that your driver's breaking down, but you're better than everybody else on that court. Take the damn shot. How about Spud of the night, though?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
Spud of the night was Swaggy P. That's right, Nick Young, 13 minutes, 2 points on 1 of 3 shooting, including 0 of 2 from 3, and literally no other stats aside from a turnover. None! That's 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, 0 blocks. What are you even doing out there, Swaggy? Like, in 13 minutes, how do you get that? What a stat line. That is unbelievable. So, Jesus, not great there, Swaggy. Not great. The mythology of Nick Young continues to impress. How about better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody when you're hanging out in a gym in Reseda with your dad and your Spud brothers. Trying to make a, trying to get your crappy second brother into the NBA in the combine, huh? In like the lower level combine. Oh, Jesus, I'm enjoying LiAngelo Ball's stuff. So anyway, but who was better than Lonzo Ball? Jordan Bell. 6 points, 5 rebounds to go with a steal and a block in 18 minutes last night. He was awesome. And man, fuck Chicago for trading that pick to the goddamn Warriors. You assholes. I don't care that you got $3 million, Jerry Reinsdorf, but Jesus Christ, man. Jordan Bell out there playing legit minutes in a Western Conference Finals and actually kicking ass. That's better than Lonzo Ball. All right, we'll be back right after this. We're going to do our Yeah Nahs for tonight. Tonight's game with against the, between the Celtics and the Cavs with our boy Alex Benton. That'll be right after, let's say, oh, these ones.
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. This is Stephen Adams, eh, Brew? And you're listening to NBA Stream, eh? Cheer, Brew.
All right, and it's time for Yeah Nah, where we take 3 NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. And that's right, man, we've got our very special guest. It's our man, Alex Benton. Alex, how you going?
Yeah, I'm going good.
Nice, man. So the idea behind Yeah Nah, it's pretty obvious. You know this. This is how it all goes. So everybody else out there is like, just get to the fucking Yeah Nahs, would you? So, look, you're a Celtics fan. Let's get a little bit of background on that. Like, how long have you been following the Celtics and all that sort of stuff?
It's probably coming on 28 years now.
Nice. So,
yeah, I started in 1990 collecting Larry Bird cards out of my friend's cubby house in Adelaide. And, you know, I got on the Larry Bird train a little bit late. He immediately got a back injury and then retired. But, I stuck it out through the 90s, through the Rick Pitino era, through the Vin Baker alcoholic era, and now we're back, and we're on the brink of the NBA Finals, so I'm excited.
Nice one. The Vin Baker, drinking Vin era of the Boston Celtics is pretty underrated, I feel like. There's some real fucking characters around that time.
And it was dark days for the Celtics. Everyone was, everyone was either a Michael Jordan fan or Kobe was kicking off in the late 90s, early 2000s. But, you know, we had drunk Vin.
Well, see, he got traded for my favorite player of all time. Like, I grew up as a Seattle Supersonics fan, similar to you, just like, you know, grabbing cards when I could back in Australia, and I love the Sonics, and Sean Kemp was my favorite player ever. Obviously, he got traded for Vin Baker basically throughout these, the machinations of that Milwaukee trade and all this sort of shit. And I'm like, oh man, Vin Baker, oh, fuck you. Fuck this guy. He's not as good as Sean Kemp. And then he's like putting up numbers where you're like, oh, that's cool. And then you realize, oh wait, he's a spud. Like, this is bullshit. But I always followed the rest of his career because he was like a fascinatingly weird dude who was like kind of good. Obviously hit the Terps and shit went sideways on him.
Yeah, and speaking of going sideways, that's exactly what happened to Sean Kemp, the Rain Man. Got exactly. Fat.
Yeah, he expanded sideways. That's how he went. Nice one. Well, so that's great that you're a Celtics fan. Like, the fact that my dog is named Larry is purely because of Larry Bird as well, because I grew up loving Larry Bird about the same sort of time as you, like 1990, 89, 90. I would have been like grade 1. You're like, yes, this guy's sick, and I've always loved Larry Bird, so that's why the dog is named Larry. There you go.
We're kindred spirits, growing up watching NBA action with Steve Carfino.
Fucking Steve Carfino.
Bill Woods.
I love it. All right, so let's get to the fucking yeah now with Alex. So let's do it. Number one, the Eastern Conference Finals are a best of three now, and it's heading back to Boston. Alex, will the Celtics win this game five in Boston tonight? Yeah, nah.
I'm going to have to say yeah.
Oh, shit.
Look, the Celtics are 9-0 in the playoffs, so the statistics kind of lean towards them winning. I'm predicting a drunk, raucous, after-work crowd at the Garden tonight. And, you know, for guys like Marcus Smart and Scary Terry, the basket gets a little bit bigger back in Boston, so they're going to start sinking some threes. We're going to get off to a start a little bit faster than we did in game three and four. And really, like, if they don't win tonight, then the series is over. So as much as I think they will win, they also have to win.
Yeah, it's a really good point about them, like, really having to win this one. Like, I believe the phrase is pivotal or must win for a game five. It seems pretty brutal, but the fact is, like, they are 9-0 at home, absolutely crushing it. And I'm now trying to figure out, like, Bangers Baines, what his three-point shooting is at home versus on the road. And it's, like, terrifyingly better at home to, like, throughout the playoffs at home. I believe he is, off the top of my head, it is 3, 4, 5 of like 8. So that's pretty bloody good, man. So yeah, it's right there. Role players, they just play better at home. It's what they do. So number two, is Brad Stevens the best coach in the NBA? Alex, what do you reckon? Yeah, nah.
These are loaded questions.
It is.
So, with all due respect to Pop, I'm going to say yeah. I'm drinking the Brad Stevens Kool-Aid. He's improved this team's record in his first five seasons. He's got them on the brink of the NBA Finals without their two best players. Brett Brown's still trying to work out some of the plays that Brad drew up against the Sixers. So I'm saying yeah, but obviously, you know, he's going to take him to the next level, and that's the finals. And so we'll see what happens in the next three games.
Well, he's going to get them to, like, win more than one game on the road as well. And I'm loving this Brad Stevens Kool-Aid stuff. It is great, like, especially in New York where we both are, where it's like, oh, shit, man. Anytime, like, you tune into stuff, there's, like, always, like, some salty New York guy going, all right, is he really that good? And you're like, motherfucker, like, you've just have, like, gone through 3 years of Jeff Hornacek. So I don't know if anyone here can be talking shit about Brad Stevens anytime soon. So number three, yeah, nah. Who are you more excited for coming back next year? Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, or Daniel Tice? Yeah, nah. It's not really a yeah, nah, but we'll roll with it.
Yeah, I'll just say yeah again. I'm most excited about Gordon Hayward's hair. He's got 5 minutes of those beautifully styled locks, and it wasn't enough. So the moment we can get that hair back on the Celtics, that's when it's going to be a beautiful sight.
Underrated part of this Celtics season, the lack of Gordon Hayward's hair.
Yeah, I remember just as when he signed with the Celtics, I went on YouTube looking for Gordon Hayward highlights, and there was a full feature on him at a barbershop and the style that he gets, and I was fixated on it. I couldn't wait to see it in person, and then we had to wait a full 12 months for that to happen. So the answer is obviously Gordon Hayward's hair.
Yeah, I dig it. I can't argue with that. Like, it's going to be fun as shit just to have him back and have that hair just running around looking all picture perfect. Speaking of perfect, Joel Embiid was out there talking shit on Monday night during the Eastern Conference Finals game four, saying that Man Bun is just out there to get dunked on. Look, my love for Aaron Bangers Baines knows no bounds, but Alex, Aaron Bangers Baines would beat the absolute bejesus out of Joel Embiid in a punch on. Yeah, nah.
4 from 4, yeah.
Fuck yes.
Bangers isn't afraid to fight dirty.
Fuck,
like,
no.
He'd pull hair, he'd, you know, give him a wedgie, whatever it takes. Like, I don't think Embiid would be able to handle what Bangers has got in store for him.
Bangers is a cement truck dressed up as an NBA player. It's awesome. Like, it's like someone put a fucking NBA, a giant, giant Celtics jersey on a phone booth. It's amazing. I love him. So there you go. All right, quickly, we're going to keep talking about Celtics. So we're going to go quick rapid fire. You can only keep one of these Celtics out of two dudes each time. So who do you prefer? Let's do this, Alex. Marcus or Scary Terry?
All right. Apologies to all the people that are profiting off Scary Terry t-shirts, but Marcus is the man. I'm going Marcus all the way.
I dig it. I'm on board with this. I loved Scary Terry Rose as well, but man, Marcus Smart just, he is he's a dying breed in the NBA where he's like kind of limited, kind of has like this insane, like real just confidence about himself where he's like, fuck it, man, I'm a shooter. I don't give a fuck. But I also can like lock down literally anybody, like anybody. Joel Embiid, LeBron James, doesn't matter. Marcus Smart's like, I got it. I got this. Don't worry about that. So it's a good call. Next up, Jalen or Jason? If you have to keep one, who do you prefer?
Like my favorite sons. I am going Jason, probably by a long way. I'm buying all the Jason stock. Give me all your stock. I'm loading up for the next decade on the Jason. Sorry, Jalen.
Yeah, I agree, man. That dude could be like a top five NBA player in like 3 years' time. So Al Horford or Mook Morris?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I love Mook Morris. Maybe if you gave me both Morris twins, I would have gone with that. But I'm going to go with playoff Al. He's been amazing. And I'm expecting a big game from him tonight.
It's going to be fascinating to see how he goes because he had a shit time of it basically in Cleveland. And actually, to be honest, so did Mook Morris. So hopefully both of them bounce back. Who knows? It's going to be fun. And then finally, Kyrie or Hayward. The two superstars have been sitting out this entire playoff run. Which one do you prefer? Who you got?
I think the only answer here is Kyrie, but with Gordon Hayward's hair.
Ah, man, just imagine it.
Yeah, just imagine that beautifully styled, immovable object on Kyrie's head. And there you go. You're a perfect player.
It'd be like if you combined Stewie McGill's leg break with Warnie's flipper and it'd just be like legitimately amazing. Nice one. That's awesome. Thanks, Alex. That was fucking great. How good was that for a bit of a yeah-nah segment? We just punched through a bunch of Celtic stuff, which we don't actually get too much of on the old NBA story, apart from me just like yelling about bangers. So that was awesome. Good job.
Well, we're going to have to change that. We're going to speak more Celtics. And I'm happy to do it anytime.
Fuck yeah. We might have to have you back after game 5 or 6. All right, thanks, Alex. That was good.
Thanks, James.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, we are back. Thanks to Alex Benton. That was an awesome year. And it's like, it's pretty cool just to have a Celtics fan on to talk about how they're going. Might even get my Celtics buddy Pat on next week and actually American voice on the old NBA Australia. See how that goes. So cheers, Alex. That was sick. So let's quickly whip through some of the other fun stuff that we've got today. We're going to do a quick extra one. So let's do the old look at me, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
So back to the Warriors Rockets. When do we start going, hey, Chris Paul keeps bailing James Harden out when he shits the bed in these playoff games, right? Because that's what keeps happening, and it's kind of weird, and no one's really jumping on it because when the Rockets win, everyone's like, oh, fuck, the Rockets won. Meanwhile, James Harden is like no-showing hardcore. Just saying that James Harden might be a bit of a bish who bottles it at the sign of trouble, man. 6 points in the second half, man. That is brutal. Absolutely brutal. And how about Outback Takehouse for today? Step in. To Outback. It's Wednesday, and at Outback, that means double bloomin' onion, double Alice Springs chicken, and some flame grilled takes. And today's take is flame grilled. Steve Kerr is overrated because any coach worth his salt would have called a timeout and made the coward Kevin Durant shoot the game winner at the end of that Rockets Warriors game. That is today's flame grilled take at only at Outback. Also, whinging Chris Paul hitting that second free throw on purpose to make sure his free throw percentage didn't drop. Is that an Outback Takehouse take? I don't know. Pretty great. Regardless. And how about the Mark Bradke Memorial Sweaty White Guy of the Week Hall of Fame today? In honor of tonight's Celtics-Cavs game, we could either say Big Zydrunas Ilgauskas or Kevin McHale. So how about we say both? Love Big Z's big bald noggin next to LeBron for all those years in the thousands. He was such a weird dude, right? He's like this amazing stroke from like 18 feet. He's 7'3" and never averaged more than 9 rebounds a game. Whereas Kevin McHale, like, just could you ever imagine him not averaging 9 rebounds a game? He might also be the only player to be sweatier and hairier than Big Mark Bradke. Had about 40 times the post moves and arms longer than a lowland gorilla as well, did Kevin McHale. I'll tell you that much. So there you go. Big Zydrunas Algauskas and Kevin McHale. You're both inducted this week into the Mark Brokey Memorial Sweaty White Guy Hall of Fame. Onyas, Zydrunas Algauskas and Kevin McHale. And a quick last one, the Paddy Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Inspiration Board. It's the Joe Ingles Inspiration Board these days, obviously. So what's Joe Ingles got to say today? Ah, just some classic one. Ah, just the old classic. Here we go. Coffee emoji. Love it. That's great. I'm loving Joe Ingles. Just following him on Twitter is the great. So let's quickly smash through today's game preview, shall we? Cavs at Celtics, game 5. I'm going to be down at Professor Tom's in New York watching this one in an actual Boston bar just going, oh, Jesus. So let's do it. Game previews. Game previews. We have Cavs, Celtics, game 5. What do you think there, inadvertent Bane?
I believe Boston are 9-0 at home this playoffs, so they will probably continue to be 10-0 at home this playoffs.
Interesting. So let's do our Australian Player Watch while we're doing the preview. So bangers. Aaron Baines, what do you reckon? Can he drop a couple of threes now he's at home again? I reckon he'll drop 2 threes, truck some bastards. He's currently averaging 7-7 for the series with his 1 assist and 1 block per game, shooting 50% from the field and 100% from 3. Bangers. He just doesn't miss, mate. The original unicorn. So for the prediction for bangers tonight, I'm going to say 10-8 with 2 made threes. There we go. LeBron, though, he's gone over 40 points twice already in this series. I reckon he spuds it up like he did in game 1. No, I reckon we get a Bruce McAvan. That's special performance. 45, 12, and 12, I reckon, from LeBron tonight. But really, this just comes down to the Celtics role players and young dudes, as mentioned by Alex earlier on, being at home and thinking that they are golden. Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, the Mark-eyes, their defense and not getting fouls at every turn is definitely going to be a thing at home. Rose, Scary Terry at home is a fucking completely different player. The double J's as well will pop off for 20 each. Horford will get rolling again. And how's this for a stat? Tristan Thompson versus Al Horford. Horford per 36 minutes this series with Tristan on the court. 9.8 points, 5.6 rebounds. When Tristan's not on the court, Al's at 27 points and 11.5 rebounds. Holy shit. So I feel like the Celtics smash this. The Cavs secondary do just stick it. And the Celtics win and go up 3-2. There's the game preview for today. So there you go. You know what? That's it. Done. Picking the Celtics. We picked the Rockets last night. Even had a little bit of a taste on them as well, bro. So that came out good. On ya. So look, give me the Celtics tonight. I'm going to be Professor Tom's watching that, drinking some fucking beers before I go to LA tomorrow. So that's it, man. We're back tomorrow. We might have, I believe we're going to have PDX Pete on to talk some Western and Eastern Conference Finals and, you know, keep talking about these series, which are going great guns, which is awesome. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter and NBA Australia. Like us on Facebook. Don't forget to subscribe on NBA, on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Chuck us a nice 5-star rating and review while you're at it. And tell a mate. Go, oi, dickhead, do you like basketball? Well, this dickhead over here, NBA Australia, does like every day. It's bullshit. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out House Hats, though, their new band. They are the best band in Australia. Their new single, Stop, is an absolute pearler. Extra special thanks to the legends at Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard through the episode. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, and if you're in a band or mates are in a band, hit me up. I'll play their songs. Don't worry about it. Give them a smash, man. All great bands. And that's it, man. Stick around for a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. It's a classic as usual, and we'll catch us tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, hoser. All right, then welcome to this week's show. I'm Andrew Bogut, and this is Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Because remember, with all these blue-haired, leather jacket wearing, latte drinking, snowflake SJW feminists out there on Twitter destroying the world with their virtue signaling and being all sensitive to everything, someone needs to tell like it is, mate, like real truth and everything. So that's what I'm doing. I speak the truth, and if you don't like my opinions, you can get stuffed, eh? And now I'm back in Australia and signed with the NBL, I've got plenty of time to talk to you idiots on Twitter about footy, the East-West link, drug injecting rooms, and all the other dumb shit that keeps popping off, mate. So it's a title win. Let's get stuck in today, all right? Oh, so look at this one. Mark Collette, he tweets out, schools in Australia are considering banning Thomas the Tank Engine and Winnie the Pooh as they are not gender neutral. Oh, what the fuck? I'm going to tweet that out and say, nope. Proud to be the pops of our boy. Gender neutral, you dickheads. Oh, and then this dude, Freakzilla, replies to me and says, world is insane in 2018. Would be much better if everyone's just worried about being a good person instead of trying to make everyone follow their ideology. That's a good point, Freakzilla. Thank you. That's a good tweet, Bogey. That's a good tweet. Oh, mate. Oh, so this dickhead, Marshall Lee, he tweets out, just heard you talking on SEN. It's what I do, mate. I just pop into all these shows. And I think you said, you know, about 15 times in a matter of 2 minutes, lol. Oh, and then this dickhead, Calf Muscle, says, my fucking pet hate is when people speak, ah, yeah, yeah, you know? Oh, I'm going to reply. Do you know? But do you know? That's a good one, dickhead. Nice one. Oh, that's very funny. And then this guy. So when Calf Muscle says, my fucking pet hate is when people speak, ah, yeah, you know. Well, my pet hate is anonymous people on social media. Where does that leave us, Calf Muscle, you fucking dickhead? Nice one. Oh, and then Ben Green, he says, he replies to that one. He says, there are two types of anonymous users on Twitter. Number one, far leftists abusing everyone about meat eating, religion, life, or anything fun. And number two, anyone in the center or center right that is rightly worried, far leftists, will run a targeted campaign of lies against them to have them fired. Well, I'm going to retweet that, but I'm also going to say or agree. Although I would say far right nutters spew abuse anonymously also. World is crazy, mate. Crazy. And then Daniel Monday, he says, but, aren't you alt-right according to anonymous sources on here? That's a nice one, Daniel. That's funny. I'm going to retweet that and reply. Alt-right the wog, because that makes total sense alone, dickheads. Oh, my God. Tell me about it. Oh, my God. Also, I need some help with connecting some stuff, so I better ask Twitter. Most likely a dumb question. If watching a video on iPhone, is it possible to connect it to a bigger screen somehow? Or will conversion be an issue? Oh, look at all these retweets. Oh, look at all these replies. That is pretty good. Thanks, blokes. That's good, mate. Chromecast it is. Thanks for a productive Q&A on Twitter. Shocking, but I still have faith in people. That is awesome. Nice one. Oh, so how good is footy, though? I'm loving watching the footy and being back home. So John Ralph points out, they can't have the goddamn grand final, apparently, in Perth, because, like, it doesn't matter if you get a cheap grand final ticket if the flight costs you $1,500. Oh, you're a dickhead, mate. Imagine in some sort of warped out world that the AFL Grand Final went to the best ranked team each season. Hashtag equality. Nice one, Bogey. That's a good one, equality. Did you like it? Oh, and how's this one? So people have sent me this one heaps, and it's really stupid, mate. So I was reading the Herald Sun because it's my favorite paper, and then this lady, she's all like, Mum sues AFL after football allegedly hits her in the head, and there's a picture of her laying on her thing. This is why everything gets banned. Smack my head emoji. Oh, because like she got hit in the head with a bit of a footy down at Etihad Stadium. She's suing the AFL. Get fucked, you dickheads. Oh my God. And then this dipshit, Zoran Filipovic, he says, I would as well if I was seriously injured. Oh, you're a dickhead, Zoran. Because like, I'm going to tweet this one out. How is it the AFL's fault? So ban all kids carrying footballs in a public space? It's unfortunate the lady got hurt, but come on, mate. Oh my God, this is ridiculous. I'm going to retweet out this response as well to this dude, Oz Sports Fan. He said, don't go to the game then. Also, don't do anything as it may cause injury. In fact, don't even leave your house as it may also cause injury. That's a nice one. That's a good one, Bogey. Oh, and then the final one. All right, so I'm just going to retweet this one from Ed Lattimore. He says, outrage culture is just capitalism. I saw a piece about a sexist issue in Infinity Wars and it clicked for me. Pointing down emoji with the retweet. There you go. Just makes a really good point, does my friend Eddie. On your mate, so that's good. Okay, that is all for this week. I've been Andrew Bogut, and this has been Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter.